Good day from Wall Street. This is Jack Marks for Wall Street Reporter, and today I am speaking with Terrence DeFranco. He is the CEO of Iota Communications Inc. Stock symbol over the counter is IOTC. Terrence, welcome.
Pleasure being here, Jack. Thank you.
Terrence, can you start off by explaining, for our audience exactly what Iota Communications does?
Yes, Iota is involved in delivering solutions to commercial facility owners to help them reduce operational and energy costs. We do this as an application provider, so we have a software as a service platform that we sell to commercial facility owners and managers. But the real intrinsic value of the business resides in ultimately the value proposition in our network. We are building a wireless network and establishing ourselves as a wireless carrier, not really much unlike AT&T or Verizon, but essentially a network with a nationwide footprint through the United States, built purposely for the Internet of Things. Our software as a service platform relies on that connectivity that's so important. One of the things that we recognize a big problem in the Internet of Things overall, and also in commercial facilities and leveraging that connectivity, is that there really isn't a very reliable, low-cost alternative out there. So our network is really going to serve our customers well from the standpoint of filling a void that has existed, doing so in a very cost-efficient fashion. And then as our software as a service platform is utilized, it's really leveraging those benefits to drive ROI. And that's ultimately how we position ourselves with our customers.
So this wireless network, this is a national network that you're building out right now.
That's correct.
And it's specific for IoT.
That's right. So we currently own or control FCC licensed spectrum in the 800 megahertz band. Right now we have coverage through those licenses of up to about 60% of the United States. We expect that by the end of calendar 2019, we should have upwards of 95% of the U.S. covered from an FCC spectrum license standpoint. In addition to that, we've built out considerable number of physical sites as well. So we have towers out there that are communicating our signal. And that essentially the construction of the network is what's going to be taking place through the next 12 to 18 months. So we expect that by that time, we will have that connectivity established essentially across the vast majority of the United States. And our strategy is, number one, to leverage that connectivity, which is purpose-built for the Internet of Things. This is a narrow-band connectivity, so differentiating ourselves from the large wireless carriers like AT&T and Verizon, where we're concentrating purely on narrow-band communications, M2M, machine-to-machine communications, and what they call the Internet of Things. And what we've also done is built an application on the front end that leverages the benefits of that network. We plan on scaling our business in the future by bringing third parties onto that network. But right now we're taking an approach of basically eating our own cooking and delivering value directly to end customers with a solution that really drives the benefits of that network.
So just so I understand better. So essentially you really have kind of two businesses in one. You have this, the IoT network, which could be used for anybody who has IoT applications, and then you have your own commercial building SAS business. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I mean, it kind of, you use the analogy of what AT&T has done recently. They own a network, and now they bought Time Warner Media, and they're delivering content directly to their subscribers. Essentially, what we're doing is we're building a network rather than getting in the business of selling data, which ultimately becomes highly commoditized. We focused on delivering the value of that network through value-added applications. So the customer is really enjoying the benefits of the application on the front end, recognizing the great value of the network in the application rather than just going out and trying to sell data subscriptions. We feel that these value-added applications, such as what we do for commercial facilities, are essentially kind of dragging the great benefits of that network into these facilities, and we're accumulating subscribers through the use of those applications.
What other applications are there for for using your IoT network?
Yeah, so really anything that fits within the vast umbrella, underneath the vast umbrella of the Internet of Things. So the connectivity benefits that come with our network are that, number one, we're able to have our signals travel very long distances, very similar to cellular. But number two and number three are really where we differentiate ourselves. Number two is that we're able to more aptly penetrate barriers. So, if you had poor cell signal or poor connectivity with your cellular carrier, you'll know that there are significant number of dark spots out there, and especially going into basements of buildings and things like that. So our network is able to actually penetrate barriers much more efficiently than cell carriers. And the third thing is that our network use consumes very little energy. So end devices, now on a cell phone, you have to charge it every night. Our end devices for IoT, which includes gateways and sensors, can essentially run on battery for very long periods of time. Some of our sensors can run on battery for upwards of 10 years. So in the Internet of Things, these are aspects that are very, very important. So going back to who could leverage that, you really look at anyone building an Internet of Things application, whether it be in healthcare, in consumer, in asset tracking, in logistics, smart agriculture. We use it in smart building. So you think about all the many applications that are enabled by the Internet of Things. The way we're positioning the network is really that it's a purpose-built IoT network that really cuts through to a lot of the value that would reside in that wireless connectivity without all the cost.
And in terms of cost, like what would, just to maybe go through some numbers, like what would a subscription run? Like who would actually be the customer for this network? Is it mostly business?
So right now our strategy is that, in selling our applications out to commercial facility owners and managers, we're essentially the customer for the network. As the network expands and as our business continues to evolve and looking to bring third parties onto our network, then we would basically be going to all different types of application or product development companies. So any company that has an Internet of Things solution is a potential customer for us. And, our feeling is that while the Internet of Things has certainly advanced using wireless cell connectivity, given the fact that it does consume a lot of energy, given the fact that it isn't able to penetrate barriers as effectively as many of these applications require, and that those are the things that kind of weigh against an IoT application, really has prevented a lot of solutions from even making the market. So we believe that there's a whole untapped addressable market, given the fact that there are these unique benefits associated with our network.
So it looks like initially you're starting off by, offering your own application as a way, almost as a proof of concept in a way.
That's right.
Okay. And then I guess the second phase of your business model will be to get other applications, onto this, onto your network.
That's correct. And the even establishing, and as I present our applications, I do show them as essentially the case study for the validation behind our network. that business in and of itself is potentially a huge business as a standalone. You know, so I don't envision that we'll be the only user of our network. That's certainly not something that we're planning. But at the same time, our shareholders benefit from the fact that just that standalone business itself, could be worth many billions of dollars.
That's that, and you're referring to the commercial facilities management application business.
That's right.
Okay. What is that called? What do you guys call that?
So it's called the Bright AI platform.
Bright AI.
And the name implies that it's essentially a data gathering and analysis platform that helps building owners drive down energy costs and other operational costs. It's sold as a software as a service platform. It's sold through subscription, and essentially, it's a very easy to use platform for building owners to leverage the use of data analytics to drive down their energy costs primarily, but then also doing things like predictive maintenance and asset tracking to drive down operational costs. We do this, again, leveraging the network for that connectivity by installing gateways and sensors and basically turning that building into a smart building. It's kind of like that backbone of connectivity is really kind of like a Fitbit for a building. So we install sensors and gather data and have great visualization tools that essentially can drive insights for commercial facility owners and finding ways that they can drive more efficiency in those areas of energy management, predictive maintenance, et cetera. So that Fitbit for the building concept is the first part of it. And the second is really like a knowledge base that goes along with it. The way I describe it is kind of like a WebMD. So if you can imagine a WebMD sitting next to your Fitbit, where you're seeing these analytics and seeing some of this data, but then you're also able to, in a lot of cases, self-diagnose things that you can do that are going to help drive much more efficiency. And we do a lot of handholding with our customers. We also do other services for them, such as doing LED lighting retrofits and solar panel installations, et cetera. But all of this is built around this platform and adding on those services on top of it in essentially a turnkey fashion to help those building owners really drive down their costs.
Okay, so it's a smart. You're basically selling a smart building solution using this.
That's right.
IoT. Okay, and who is like a typical customer, and what's the real value proposition? Like, what do they pay? What kind of, return are they getting on your using your application?
So it's the facility manager, facility owner, property manager. So the CBREs of the world, but then also just the internal facility managers, so office buildings, warehouses, campuses, for example. These are all commercial facilities, all different types of commercial facilities. They can be single building or multi-building units as well, do college campuses and things like that. The ultimately the benefit is all built into this model that we've essentially adopted. We've seen it in some areas of the market, but essentially this energy as a service type of model, where essentially we can bundle in everything that a building owner, facility manager requires, whether it's a subscription to our software platform or even some of these energy conservation measures, such as an LED lighting retrofit. We basically build them all into a subscription-based model. So things that have typically cost a lot from capital budgets, we basically bundle into a very friendly subscription. The value proposition is that we're able to demonstrate a very clear ROI in that what we save more than pays for what the cost of the subscription is. So when IOTA enters the building and we do our assessment, we deliver our solution. At the end of the day, even after paying for all the services that we provide through this model, the facility is basically net in the positive. So we more than pay for the cost of our services through this model. So there's an immediate savings that the customer enjoys, no upfront investment required from them. And it really makes this model very digestible for our investors. It's, you know, it's really a wonderful model. This, the software as a service model, you know, very high margin for us, you know, very sticky. These contracts are typically very long term. So you could see how, you know, kind of bundling all of that together, along with the great benefits associated with our network, really all becomes part of a long-term subscription that we feel can gather a lot of momentum and create some really great returns for our shareholders.
And so what's the revenue model? Maybe you can kind of go into some details, like what is a subscription, you know, typically run, and you know, what kind of margins do you have on that?
Sure. So we typically charge per square foot. So we'll go into a facility, depending on the type of facility. So a hospital, for example, is different from an office building, which is different from a warehouse. So we do set up our pricing depending on the category, but it's typically done on a per square foot basis. Our software as a service model has gross margins upwards of 80%. So it follows really the kind of the typical allure of software as a service type companies, you know, where they garner these very high multiples. You know, we kind of follow in, you know, right behind that. The benefit for us is that, you know, there's what we're doing with this, with the, you know, this application is really pulling in the benefits of that network. I mean, that's the one thing that, you know, we feel is a huge differentiator for us. What we've been able to do based on the benefits of our network is that there is not an environment out there in a building where we can't establish connectivity. And that is something that, you know, we feel is extraordinarily unique. If you're dependent on connectivity and the costs associated with it, especially in very challenging environments, that's something that by virtue of our very unique network that we're really able to overcome. There isn't an environment where we're not going to be able to establish connectivity. It still demonstrates the benefits of being the most low cost. So that, again, when we look at that model of really trying to drive ROI, those things are very, very important, that we don't have to spend money on either, you know, running cabling through a building or putting a lot more hardware like repeaters and things like that. So it really is extraordinarily efficient and helps us really drive a lot more value toward the customer.
Okay. So essentially you're targeting 80% gross margins for this service. Okay.
For that service. Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to get too granular because, you know, that's kind of, you know, this is more of like a strategic type interview, but what's the, maybe if you can throw out some numbers in case anybody, you know, any investor listening to this can sort of like, you know, model kind of what the upside is, like, what is per square foot, like what do you charge for this?
It'll range anywhere from 2 cents to 15 cents per square foot.
Annually, yeah?
Per month.
Oh, per month. Wow. Okay. So okay. And how big is this? Like, what's the typical, like, what's the, you're targeting what size buildings for this?
50,000 square feet and up.
50,000 square foot buildings. Okay. And how big is the opportunity? Let's just say in the U.S. or North America, what's the size of this opportunity?
So, you know, they're estimates literally all over the lot for smart building and the Internet of Things. You know, we've seen numbers as high as $225 billion market in the United States for smart building. Those are, yeah, pretty significant. I feel that those numbers are certainly reliable as far as the scope of it, but I think, you know, we've got to get a little bit further down the road to see how much businesses ultimately leverage the Internet of Things. Those numbers are indicative of the type of uptake that we've seen. We believe that they can actually be larger.
Okay, so it's a substantial opportunity, and then that's just your smart building, this Bright AI application, and then you have the your IoT network. So,
That's right.
which is the IoT network? I'm assuming that's going to be kind of that's really the, that's where the real action is going to be. Let's say a couple of years down the road, if it takes off.
It is. It is. I mean, that's ultimately, one of the ways that the company can scale. We can scale through the adoption of our software platform, which means that, we could also allow other applications to integrate with our software platform. Very similar to how you see, applications that are integrated into, Google or Apple or something like that. The other place would be more adoption for the network itself. So selling connectivity on the network to other product development companies. So we have the benefit of really scaling from both sides of our business. The one part of our business I think is important to point out is that, that spectrum that I mentioned in the beginning and having that, 60% U.S. Coverage from an FCC license standpoint, upwards of 90 to 95% later in next year, is that there's a lot of value just in that spectrum itself. So there's like this, a great for investors, it really is great underlying value based on the number of megahertz pops and channels of spectrum that we also own.
So,
So it's kind of a nice safety net embedded in our model of the ownership of that spectrum, as well as the development of the network and the business opportunities associated with it.
yeah, so Terrence, I want to ask about that. Because spectrum, we've seen, huge valuations put on spectrum deals in recent years. So the spectrum you own, I mean, what kind of value would that have
So that's a great question.
currently? Because your market cap is
If
around 100 million or so right now.
yeah, it's about, I think it's about 130 million now. Right now we believe that we own and will have soon enough spectrum that even at pretty conservative rates would be well in excess of what our current market cap is.
Because I think what was the name escapes me. I'm sure you know which company I'm referring to. There was a or there was some spectrum deal a couple of years ago where it was they bought it very cheaply, and then it was bought for multi billions. I don't know if it was a 5G, some sort, I don't know if there was a 5G. There's some sort of spectrum. I think there was like a hedge fund involved in that deal. Do you know what I'm referring to?
I don't. There's one company that does own spectrum similar to ours that also a small public company called PDV Wireless. That's working in the 900 megahertz spectrum. Looking at their valuation compared to ours, we feel like we're tremendously undervalued in comparison.
Okay, and in terms of if you maybe you can give like a quick snapshot of sort of the company's history and bring us up to speed on what kind of traction you're generating now in terms of revenues.
Okay, so IOTA Communications today is essentially the product of a merger between M2M Communications and Solbright Group. We merged the companies together last year, and that's essentially where you get this vertically integrated business where we have both the applications as well as the network. We did in this company's been largely in development stage. The Solbright side of the business did about 12 million in revenue for the year ended May 31st, 2018. We've yet to publish the consolidated numbers for our fiscal 2019, which just ended on May 31st. It is a down year over 2018, but we believe that 2019 is a year essentially where we return to and perhaps even surpass those levels of 2018. Fiscal 2020, which is what we're in right now, that we began on June 1st, we believe is really a transformational, transitional year with the amount of spectrum ownership that the company will have, the progress on the building out of the network, the adoption and, well, the release and adoption of our software as a service model, our energy as a service model, really all coming together in this fiscal year. So I think what investors will see from us over the course of the next several months and as we get into the latter part of this fiscal year next spring, is a company who's really executing on that business of bringing world-class applications that largely are built on the benefits of our very unique and valuable network, driving value in this year as well, which means driving a lot of revenue, high margin revenue, and ultimately, as we get into 2021, hopefully get into profitability as well.
Okay, so 2021, you expect to get into profitability. That's next year, approximately next fiscal year.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terrence, can you share with our audience your background and also some of the key members of the team?
Sure. My background is that I spent the first half of my career working on Wall Street. Started my career at UBS and was an investment banker up to 2004. I left Wall Street, was involved in a cybersecurity startup that was ultimately sold in 2012. And since the beginning of 2013, I've been running this company. Our executive chairman, Barclay Knapp, has a long and very significant background in cellular communications. Most recently was the founder and CEO of NPL, which reached a market cap in excess of $30 billion at its height. Prior to that, Cellular Communications, Inc., which was one of the first publicly traded cellular communications companies. We've got a great internal team that consists of individuals that come from areas within the communications industry, as well as in finance, and also in energy management engineering. So we have, right now, we feel that our team of 38 people represents a very diverse and highly qualified group of individuals that coming together are really executing on this vertically integrated story.
Terrence, can you maybe tell us about, what's your vision for IOTA, 2-3 years out? Like, what is the company going to look like? Maybe, what do you see in terms of revenues, that type of thing?
So I believe that companies grow from inflection point to inflection point. I think that 2020 is certainly realization of one of those inflection points. Once we get, as we work our way through this fiscal year, we will see an increase in headcount. We will continue to see quarter over quarter revenue growth. As I said, I do think that fiscal 2020, which ends next May, will be an up year over what we had done in 2018 at Solrite. And I believe that we continue at a very high compounded annual growth rate thereafter.
Okay, and in terms of the network, the IoT network.
So, where do we what do we see the evolution of that?
Or? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what do you expect that to be? 2-3 years out from now.
Well, we firstly expect the first thing is to gain that nationwide coverage. That will be very significant. Continuing to develop technologies around the connectivity to make more efficient use of our bandwidth and expanding the applications that will continue to run that network. I would say by 2 to 3 years out, we'll certainly not only have demonstrated success with regard to the use of our own applications on the network, but in addition to that, bringing on third parties that are realizing, those same value features that long distance connectivity, being able to penetrate barriers and doing so in a low cost, low power sense. That's really the thing that, we believe a lot of companies will really benefit from.
Interesting. So the IoT, this wireless network, is this almost, kind of like where, cellular was, in the, I guess early 80s? I mean, maybe it's not as, as big of an opportunity, but is it comparable in scope?
Yeah, actually, I think that's a good analogy. There are just shy of 8 billion people in the United States. I'm sorry, in the world. There are estimated to be 50 billion devices connected through IoT. So we do think that the potential for a network like this, particularly as more things get connected to the internet, it certainly can be the same size as what the cellular opportunity was.
Terrence, my last question is, in your opinion, what are the key value drivers that investors, should take into account when considering your stock? In other words, like, what would be the top three reasons why, somebody should think about buying the stock today?
Well, the first thing is that the company, while it's raising capital in order to build our network, we've actually been able to do so in a fairly non-dilutive fashion, which means that we do bring partners in into what will be we announced earlier this year and be launching here probably next week is a limited partnership structure. So essentially, partners in owning our spectrum. We've raised over $80 million to date through this fashion. And will continue to do so in the foreseeable future. This brings in much needed capital on the build out of our network. So, we feel that that capital investment that we're making and essentially building out the network really isn't killing our shareholders from a dilution standpoint. The second thing is that the software as a service model that we're introducing out to the marketplace brings a great amount of margin into a business that typically has been really commoditized. Subscriptions for data, as we've seen as consumers, just continue to plummet. And what ultimately happened was that there was only so much money in these solutions when you take into account the cost of, a cellular phone, so the hardware, and all of that connectivity, those things essentially would get commoditized and go down in price. The beauty of our model is that we're selling the benefit of the application. And bundling in all of the connectivity into it. So we really insulate ourselves in long-term software as a service, recurring revenue contracts with our customers by essentially dragging along the network and all of the connectivity pieces to it. So you're bringing now a very high margin approach to what has been what has ultimately become a commodity. Lower margin business. And those to me are really the two main features. I'd say that the third one is the entry point, given that our company right now has a market cap that we believe is at a discount to even just what our spectrum value is. It really makes this a very compelling opportunity right now.
Well, on that note, Terrence, I want to thank you, and we look forward to following the IOTA story in the months ahead.
Jack, it's been a great pleasure, and I appreciate the opportunity very much.